Check your boobs, the choice is up to you. So go ahead, give it a whirl. No more trouble and strife, it just might save your life. Check those boobs, girls.
Mother and daughter, Breast of Friends podcast. It is me, Becky Measures. The Mother Hubbard will be here very, very shortly. Old Wendy of the Watson, get ready. She's got loads to tell you. You know, the difference between her at the start of this podcast to where we are now. I don't know what's happened. All I can do is blame Professor Evans. Professor Gareth Evans, if you're listening, don't upper HRT anymore. We can't go with it. We just can't go with it. But no, she's got loads to tell you about. Even she's not here right now because, to be honest, she's been changing the world again. And she will fill you all in. But yeah, I am back for, well, this is going to have to be part two. We left you on a bit of a cliffhanger, didn't we? I introduced you to the wonderful... Do you know when I say Ristaino, right? And then I hear somebody else say Ristaino. Yeah.
It's Ristaino. It is actually pronounced.
Right. Yes.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. You actually
I mean, I could have asked you this off the mic, couldn't I? Do you know what I mean? But I think...
Yeah, I was quite impressed with that pronunciation.
Thank you so much. You see,
I was as well.
Thank you very much. You heard this here. And if you... Obviously, hopefully you were here in part one and you heard about this wonderful family and how I met Max in the first instance, this wonderful musical genius that we all just sort of looked from afar and went, what? How does he do this? And then, you know, sort of over the years, our lives have, our paths have constantly crossed. And, you know, he's been on the radio with me or we've been putting him out at different gigs or we've just ended up in the same scenarios at the same time. Just by fate. And then I interviewed his wonderful mum, Karen. I ended up getting his mum on my radio show because she'd written a book, right? And we talked about your book and, you know, we got on really well and it was lovely to meet you. It was lovely to meet the mum behind the boy, I suppose. Mm. But we didn't know, we had no idea that we had something that was huge in common.
I don't think we knew then, even at that point.
We didn't.
No.
We didn't, you, no.
No, it came after, didn't it?
It came because we followed each other on Instagram.
Yeah.
Right? Are you with this? Are you keeping up? So me and Karen, I'd interviewed Karen on the radio about her book that she'd written, which is called The Ringmaster, available in all good bookshops, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing to do with what we're going to tell you next either, nothing at all. And we followed each other on Instagram and I'd shared a video because I was promoting a charity ball that I was doing for the Hereditary Breast Cancer Helpline, which of course is the helpline that mum set up, founded and runs and still does to this day. I shared a video of mum winning Tesco Mum of the Year.
That's right.
In 2011. And what did you say? Well, Corinne, because I remember getting this inbox and literally it was Karen going, Becky, oh my God. It was along those lines, yes, wasn't it?
I was actually sat in bed and, you know, you're trying to get up, you're trying to get out, but then you pick your phone up and then you spend another hour just scrolling.
It's called doom scrolling.
I don't know. It's clickbait.
Yeah. Procrastination.
Stop looking. Clickbait. Be there all day. And I think you must have only just posted it because it popped up. I thought, oh, that's Becky. What's this? Clicked it. And then I saw your wonderful mother and I just couldn't believe it. Are you going to say it or shall I say it? So it turns out that Wendy Watson had won Tesco of the Year 2011 mm-hmm. for her work in hereditary breast cancer.
Yep.
And I thought, what? Is that even possible? And I said, I texted straight away. I said, Becky, we have BRCA1. I says, I can't believe it. And then because I watched the video and the video then goes on to explain how Wendy had been the first to undergo the preventative surgeries. In fact, she pioneered it in mm-hmm. a sense because she demanded it and requested it. And I thought, well, had she not done that, because I've had the surgery and so has Rosaria and so has, my younger daughter's just going through that process now. And I just thought, had Wendy not done everything that she'd done, there was probably no way that we... She paved the way, basically. And I thought, God, this woman is saved. She saved my life. She saved my daughter's life. And goodness knows how many more people out there that she's potentially, you know, gone on to save. Goodness knows how many.
Yeah.
And I know her. Well, I know her daughter. And, you know, and I knew of this relationship between Becky and Max, that they'd kept bumping into each other over the years. And I just thought, I can't believe that.
No.
I just cannot believe that. And I sent you a text and I said, your mother's saved my bloody life.
Everyone in the family.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, look, how many in my own family, my nieces and my sister, and there's about probably 9 of us, I think, so far to date. And that's through your mum that they're all still plodding around and getting on with life and enjoying themselves, you know. And
amazing.
That's down to your... Amazing.
It still gets me every time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you do, you know, it's another scenario of you do what you do because you know it's right, you know, and you know it's there. So. But then when you sit in it and you watch you guys.
The effect of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I just remember you saying, you know, this, and I was like, oh my God, this is insane. No,
Max
is playing at the ball. Did you not understand the title, Hereditary Breast Cancer Helpline?
Yeah, he hadn't said anything. It said it was a charity, but I don't think he knew at that point.
No, I've realised with Max, and I'll tell you what I've realised, you know, this is what I am. Max is a musical genius, right? Yeah. He doesn't read things in that. But you know, because you don't need to, darling, because you just go and you impress everything.
Yeah,
what time have I got to be there? What have I got to bring done? Yep, fine. Yeah. And I only know this as well because I literally screen read things, right? Yeah, yeah. And then go, yeah. Oh, God, I didn't realise that.
And you reread. Right. And then you've missed all the vital information.
This episode of Mother and Daughter, Breast of Friends is proudly sponsored by First Intuition Yorkshire and Humber, the premier college for aspiring accountants.
Yeah, exactly. So I remember, it's incredible to know that, you know, this is still having this effect and it has had this effect. Do you mind just, before we sort of move on to where we are, I think it is important to, you know, you've just said, well, I had a mastectomy, and Rose, you have had a mastectomy as well. When did you have yours, darling?
I had mine done, was it about 9 years ago?
Wow.
So I had about 9 years, yeah, because I had my first daughter 10 years ago, so she was just one. So then I stopped breastfeeding in preparation for that, and then I had that done.
So how old were you then?
How old am I now? 36 now. I think I was 27, I think. But it's weird because I knew of the BRCA support group and I knew the name Becky and Wendy from that support group.
Really?
And because I'd followed that group and I'd always see you posting and your mum, obviously. So I knew those names, but obviously I didn't know.
Oh, right.
That you knew Becky, that you, and then it, yeah. it
and
was really
we all
really
lived about 20 minutes away from each
other. And I think I saw that documentary that you made as well.
Yeah.
At the time, it was weird because I saw the documentary at the time when we were just finding out about that we could possibly have that gene. I literally went like that with the TV and this documentary came on before I even... It was like, that was like fate as well.
Yeah.
It was so weird. Literally one day I was just scrolling and it came up.
Wow.
I just sat and watched it. And then I spoke to my mum about it and then it was literally that week. And the way that came up was really weird. It was like it was meant to be. That support was there at precisely the time that I needed it.
How
and
amazing.
I'm going to start crying now.
Oh,
because, you know, it's stuff like that. Yeah. It's just...
Especially when you're being so young, do you know? Because, when I did my documentary, and again, if you're new to our podcast, welcome. You can still find my documentary actually on YouTube now. If you search for My Breasts or My Life, it was there. Do not judge me on the hair, right? I realised how many hairdos I had in 2 years. It's ridiculous. But they, I was at the time when that documentary was filmed, I was the youngest person that they'd ever known. It was 24.
How old were you, 24?
I was 24, which, point, you know, in today's sort of standards, is not that young, actually. There are people that, that are having this operation younger. But at the time,
still younger.
It was really young. And also, you know, they hadn't done it on anybody that young before. So it was the case of, I couldn't see any pictures. There wasn't any. Not for my own age group. There wasn't, there was pictures, don't get me wrong, but there just wasn't that. And there wasn't anybody for me really to talk to because there wasn't anybody my age.
And the impact on that on a young person as well, psychologically, and, you know, that's a really big deal. And for you to go through that without that, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I always sit there and I think I was the luckiest person in the world because the person who invented the operation, you know, and let's be honest, the doctors who are still our main support today, who Mum started with, you know, they are my doctors. You know, they are Uncle Gareth. They are Uncle. Do you know what I mean? I've known them for years. In some ways, myself, I'm the most privileged person in the world because there was no way on this planet they were letting it happen to me.
Yeah.
But it was still a big thing, you know, and I think I only realise it now.
Yeah.
In that I was on the radio at the time and I was swept up with the, you know, when I revealed that I was going to have this, we're going to come back to you guys in a minute, sorry, but when I revealed that I was going to do this, the newspapers went nuts on it, as in I was at work at Peak FM and there was all of these trucks pulled up outside. The phones didn't stop at work because they were trying to get, you know what I mean, sort of through because they'd not heard of it before.
No.
So, but I'm just so grateful that, you know, I was able to do all of that because of you. Do you know what I mean? Because of the likes of you. We knew that it would be so instrumental to others and to talk from a side of a perspective where people haven't had kids or, you know, and sort of how to navigate it. How, Karen, you know, just going back and we are going to get onto Wendy's world. It might be in part three, you don't know, but who cares? When did you find out that you had the gene? How was that?
Well, this was, I had my operations around about 11 years ago. And I did not really come across anyone. Well, I didn't know anyone who had had any surgeries or anything like that. And I'd not even heard about your mum. But it was, I think I reacted in the same way that your mum did as soon as we did find out. And I'll tell you how we found out in a minute. But I reacted in the exact same way as your mum. Well, let's get rid of them then. But had your mum not already done that, I would have probably had the same battle, or I probably wouldn't have persisted. I'd have been fobbed off and that had been.
And you'd have just
that.
Accepted
yes.
it.
And my sister found out, we found out at the same time. And we both said, let's do this together. And then we started to do a little bit of research, and then we discovered that this had been done before, and yes, she can go and do it. But initially, I found out that we'd got BRCA because my niece, who was only, I think, 26 or 27 at the time, had developed breast cancer. And it came out of the blue. She was young, she was drinking, she was smoking, and you kind of think, oh, you know, I wanted to give her a slap, but we've all drank and we've all smoked and we all lived, you know, a bit reckless, and we probably still do. But when they're so young, you kind of feel it's, you know, that they've done something. What have you done? How's this happened to you so young? And then I kind of thought, somewhere along the lines, like Ross said, your mother's work and your work must have filtered through, and I must have seen something, I must have read something about BRCA, because then I suddenly thought, I'm sure there's a gene or a gene fault that's responsible for this. And I rang my doctor and I said, my niece has just developed breast cancer. She's only 27. He said, there's a number of factors and other reasons why she's developed it so young. And I said, you don't think it's hereditary? And he laughed. He said, no. And this is, goodness knows how long after your mum had done all that work. And he laughed. He said, oh, don't be silly. He says, has your mum had breast cancer? I said, no. What about your grandmother? No. He said, well, then, you know, it's not possible. You did stop worrying, stop being silly. No.
He didn't even ask you about the male side.
No, he didn't. He asked me about my sister and I said, no, she'd not had breast cancer. So I spoke to my sister. I said, you know, I'm pretty sure I've read somewhere that there's a gene fault that can give you sort of breast cancer at an early age. I said, ask Sarah, she called Sarah, ask Sarah to ask about that when she next goes to have a consultation. And they said, yes, there is genes that can give you breast cancer. And of course, they did the test. As soon as she'd had all her operations, then they did the test. And yes, she'd got BRCA1. And so then it was down to us to get all the family done. And so, yeah, it started from her, really.
How did you broach that with the children?
It was a bit awkward, really, because Rosaria had only just had her baby. And of course, then I'm thinking she's then going to want to go on to have other children. What does she do in terms of her breasts?
I think it was just before I had her.
Was she still pregnant?
I'd just had a miscarriage and I found out during that day, pretty much in hospital. It was horrible. I had Bells.
Yeah.
And I just had that miscarriage. Yeah. That's when I found out.
Yeah. You did, right.
Yeah.
Because I remember saying to the surgeon, he'd came in and I think you were just about ready to go down and have your operation. And I'd said, could you check her ovaries?
And that was before I heard her say that, and I thought, that's come back.
I'd forgotten about that, and that's when
I found out that you had the mutation because you'd not told me because I had the miscarriage, so you didn't want to plunge me into more death.
The problem is that we know it's not a case or whatever, but it's the guilt you feel, and you shouldn't do because you can't help it.
The guilt absolutely killed me. Honestly, I really struggled with it because I'd got the two girls and then my sister had got all her I got all my nieces and my sister's girls as well. And I really did struggle with the guilt. It took me a long time.
And, you know, if you're listening to this now, and I can imagine there's a lot of people nodding their head going, yeah. You know, my mum was exactly the same. You know, she could be as strong as anything for anybody, but it's your babies, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
You know, but obviously there is no reason to. You can't help it, you know, but please always reach out as well. Please do. And that's why a lot of these groups that we do have going are there for. Don't always have to be about the medical side of it. Yeah. You know, you can be as strong as anything about that. But the other stuff that goes on, we're here. You know, there's a lot of other people that are here as well. So obviously, you know, you got tested and that came positive and we're going through this now. How are you now? You okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I mean, cause it just sounds horrific, you know, what the everything that you were going through. Max, how did, you know, cause boys do take things in differently, don't they? You know, but that's not to say that, you know, and we're going to do a lot on sort of men and, not just hereditary breast cancer, but, you know, sort of how the you know how they handle it in general and the mental effects. How was the entire process?
I do remember it being really a dark time, actually. I must have been still a teenager. I think it was around Christmas time as well, and we were sort of putting up the Christmas tree and we thought, should we really be being fun really? And happy? And I don't really know. I do remember it being really a dark couple of weeks, months.
Your operation as well overshadowed everything, didn't it? As well,
miscarriage. It was the. I think because it all happened at the same time, it made it like a big doom.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about because I was not well, and I remember putting the Christmas tree up to you, doing it to cheer me up, and I was just crying.
Didn't know if we were making it worse.
Oh, bless you. I mean, it's just that horrible sort of set of circumstances as well. So did you go and get tested straight away or did you all get tested at the same time?
I was tested first, along with my sister and then it was quite a while, I think, before you managed to get tested, wasn't it?
I think I can't remember. Because was my surgery 2 years after yours? Mm. So it might, yeah, within that time frame, wasn't it?
They don't really rush you through any process in this, do they? They really take their time.
It's another kind of subject maybe that we need to sort of talk about. But yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? You know, when they come down to sort of psychological assessments, which again, you know, you're going to have an update on this I'm quite sure on a podcast as a whole as to where we are with that. So please do watch this space, because if you are having any issues like that, we need you to know again that we're here for you. I think sometimes it's this process of still people need you to know that you're doing the right thing. But, you know, if you've watched people go through this horrific disease and you have any opportunity to stop it, you know you're doing the right thing.
You do. I think once you know what your choice is, then you just want to go help the leather and get it done, get it out of the way and put it behind you and move on. But when it's been dragged on and dragged on, it does, because you just kind of get back to normal again, and then somebody else has got to go and have their test, and it like drags it all back up again. It's just so much easier to just all go together, get it done, and then put it behind you.
But you know, obviously, you know, you've got to sit there as well as a mum, and you've got four children. I mean, thankfully, my mum's only got me. Obviously, I was too good to have any mum. Joking. But it's got to be each of their individual choice, hasn't it? You know, so must have been hard.
It was, but I think both my girls had just straight away said, well, if that's the case and I've got this, then I'll do what you did, you know.
I think it helps that you went through it
and
first,
and you saw
though.
That, you know, that there was a good end result and it did help you. But never at any point did I say, you've got to go and do this. No, it was always such a personal decision. And of course, I'm a lot older, so, you know, it's down to the girls. There's a lot to consider, isn't there? You know, there's the physical aspect, the mental aspect, and your age, and what you plan on doing for the future. There's all that to think about when you're younger. For me, I was just ready. I'd had all my children. Yeah. I was just ready. Let's get this done. But for the younger ones, it was a lot more difficult, I think, the choice.
And we've teamed up recently as well, and I can't wait to introduce you to two ladies, Lisa and Kristen, who have set up a charity called BRCA Chat. And Lisa and Chris are both, you know, sort of around the same age. And they are doing remarkable things. And I'm so grateful to them, because I always believe we're more powerful together. Do you know what I mean? And why people don't work together more, I don't know. But
I agree.
These ladies have realised, you know, that it's those little things. Because with hereditary breast cancer, and this is what we want to try and sort of get people to recognise, because I was having a conversation the other day that we still don't think people take it as serious. As you know what I mean? It's like you put the hereditary side in front of the cancer bit, and it seems to almost all of a sudden make it not as serious.
Yes.
But actually, we have to think about the mental health implications, because that's the biggest point. Mm. You know, you've still got to go to work. Mm. You're not poorly. No. You've still got to pick the kids up. You've still got to do tea. You've still got to do all these everyday things while this is happening in here to what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. You can't sleep, because that's when your mind's allowed to think about stuff. Do you know what I mean? And like you just said, when you were a bit younger, and this is what Lisa and Chris do cover, it's even things like, how to have sex after surgery. I said the word sex. Yeah. Could do that because my mother's not here. But, you know, or you know, how to broach the subject on a date. What do you tell people? And that, I think, is massively, massively important. I mean, I always feel grateful for doing my documentary in a respect, because I didn't have to tell anybody at one, you know, I didn't have to take individual people. They just all knew it. They'd be right.
Made that a lot easier.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was a lot of pressure on the surgeons, though. That has to be said now. So, yeah, so Max, both the boys tested negative, didn't they?
They did,
yeah.
I sort of, everyone just sort of thought I would have it and Don would have it. That's what we thought. I went there to sort of confirm that I had it, and then it turned out that I didn't, which was, I didn't expect it. So it literally is just a 50-50 thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And did you understand? Did you understand what the implications meant for men if they carried it? You were young. You were so young.
I was very young, I probably knew it was serious, but it's only when you sort of see everyone else going through what they went through, that you realise just how serious it was. And it was scary. It's a scary thing to have gone through, even getting the test and all that stuff.
Of course, of course. And what that would mean for your future and for your children.
Yeah.
But then, like, say by some sort of twisted, weird, beautiful fate, right? We were all brought together, and I knew there'd be a part three. It's coming next. Watch this space.